It is in us. We don't have to ask God and pray, God, just give me joy. He's already given you joy. But we have to get that stirred up in us. And when you need to do that is when you least feel like being joyful. I mean, how many have ever had a pity party with themselves and want to encourage others to join in? And we've got to thank you for your honesty, Chris, Ricky. Sometimes when the enemy comes at us and needles us, we just get agitated sometimes. But we have the victory, don't we? We have the weapons, and the enemy's behind it, and God says he's given us the shield of faith. But you can't leave the thing laying on the ground. You got to pick it up. It will stop every single, you know, King James says fiery dart. You know, Scud missiles today, you know, nuclear weapons. But our shield of faith will stop them. But we've got to pick it up and use it. And so I want to encourage you tonight to do that on an everyday basis. Because we know things come at us. Jesus said they would. He said you're going to have tribulation coming towards you. But you don't have to tribulate. You can just let it come on at you and let it go on by. And so turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. There's some more encouraging words here in Ephesians. The whole book of Ephesians is encouraging to me. But let's just look at a couple scriptures here. In verse 10 of chapter 2. For we are his workmanship. You see, that first song we sang at the end, it says, we are a child of God. We've got to remind ourselves sometimes when we're going through stuff that we're a child of the Most High, the Most High. And children have privileges, and we're joint heirs with Christ. And so we have an inheritance in Christ. And so when we get born again, one of the most important things to begin to learn is the reality of who we are now that we're in Christ. Things have changed. The old has been taken out, and it's all new. But we've got to discover it. And so here in Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Say good works. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we should be involved in good works. That's God had that all pre-planned. In the Amplified, it says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. You see, so our spirit man is perfect. God doesn't make junk. We're perfect. Born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined or planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. God wants each one of us to take paths that he's prepared for us. There's no question he's prepared a path for Steve on a motorcycle. No question about that. And Steve's taken that path. And so we've all got to discover the paths we're supposed to be on, and we're supposed to get on them. Amen? Goes on to say, he prepared them ahead of time that we should walk in them. Now, look at this part. Living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. He made us to live a good life. Jesus said it over in John 10 and 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come. Has he come? Yes, he has. He says, I came that you might have abundant life. Abundant peace in your life, abundant joy in your life, abundant good works for you to get on those paths and complete those. Abundant, I said joy, but in that joy, we can enjoy our jobs. And if you just have a job that you just absolutely detest and hate, It's simple. You've got the wrong job. Get yourself the right job. Ask him where it is. If he predestined and created that path for you, your job or your career is on that path. You've got to get on that path and find that place where you're at peace inside of you. Now, I'm not saying, because I've heard people say, well, pray for me to get another job because there's no Christians here. No, God may have put you there, probably did put you there to let your light shine. Now it's up to you and the Holy Ghost to get to work and get some of these people into the kingdom of God. You may love your job, but you're like, I hate working with these people. Yeah, I understand. They cuss and you don't like the language, but pray for them. Do good things for them. Bless them. And watch them change because of the love that you show towards them, because of your kindness, because of your gentleness, and you don't fight back and you're not, you know, cussing them back. Watch God work through you. But we've got to look like God. We've got to act like God if we're going to be godly influence on people. So anyway, this scripture here, it's just so encouraging for me that I'm God's handiwork. I'm born anew, that there's good works I'm supposed to be doing. So daily, I believe we should be seeking the Lord. What is it you want me to do today? It could be words of encouragement. It could be words of, you know, helping somebody that's down and bringing them, reminding them, if they're Christians, reminding them to get back to the Word, pray with them. Maybe you need to bless somebody. Maybe God's put it on your heart to make a dinner for them. Whatever it is, listen to the voice of the Spirit of God and then be obedient to it. And watch God do miracles in your life. In your life. Obedience is key to us living a victorious life. Obedience to what the Spirit of God says to us. So we were created to win. Victory is ours. I think it's 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. He's handed the victory to us. He's put us in the victor's right up there on the pedestal, you know, in the Olympics. And they put the gold winner, bronze, and silver, and they put them up there. He's already placed us there. We've just got to now work this from the other direction to get to there. Because he sees us as victors. He sees us as winners. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight. Well, too many people, too many Christians are fighting the wrong fight. They're fighting with each other. When you can't take that scripture and say, well, the Bible says fight. It says fight the good fight of faith. And that's the only fight we're supposed to be fighting, is the fight of faith. The good fight is that we win. And so we just keep fighting by faith until we see the victory. We don't go halfway and then give up. And we can be tempted to do that and have the pity party and say, it's not working. I think it's Katie and Devin's youngest daughter, when she was like 3 years old, when something would frustrate her, she'd say, it's not working. It's not working. She'd try to put her shirt on or something and can't get her arm through the hole or something. It's not working. Well, sometimes we can feel like it's not working, but I want to encourage you, don't give up. That's not the final destiny that God's got for you, that it doesn't work. He'll navigate you around that thing or over that thing or bust you right through that thing. But we've got to stay with him. And so how do we do that? By continuing to let the Spirit of God, through the fruit of the Spirit, flow out of us. Can't get out of love. Can't get mad. Can't get disgruntled and out of control. The reason it's called self-control is because we're supposed to control ourselves by the Word of God as our measuring stick and by the other fruit of the Spirit. And don't let Satan get us there. He's watching and he wants to get you to that place. He wants to get you where you're irritated. He has to gain his authority from you. And you're going to learn this if you're in the discipleship class. You're going to learn this. Satan doesn't just have his own power. God didn't just give him a bunch of power and let him run loose and see what he could do with us. No, he had to get the, initially he got it from Adam and Eve. He saw the authority and the power, the dunamis power that God placed in man. And he was upset. He wanted that. And so he has to steal it. He'll steal it from you. And if you hand it over, Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 27, neither give place to the devil. One of the ways we give place to him is when we cave in and we stop walking in love. We get touchy. We get offended. We start speaking wrong. We start speaking it doesn't work anymore. It's too hard. Come on. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Let's just jump over there and look at that. Now, this is the guy that they boiled in oil and not a thing happened. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith is designed to operate in the miraculous. It's designed to operate in the supernatural realm. That's where we need our faith. In the natural, you don't need to use faith, supernatural, God's faith. You need to do it in the realm of the spirit realm to make things happen in the physical realm. But as we just, you know, people that are, you know, just not born again and they're just living life, so to speak, you know, they don't have to operate by a whole lot of faith. I mean, there's certain things that they learn, but by and large, they don't understand the supernatural realm because they're not born again. They don't, it doesn't make any sense to them. That's why God, he said that he uses the simple things to confound the wise. It's simple, but it's simple when we respond in love when it's a situation where you want to fight back. It doesn't make sense to, you know, it makes a lot of people think that it's weak. You know, I'm weak, especially guys. Oh, I'm just being weak here. I'm caving in. No, your supernatural, the love of God is the most powerful force in the universe. It's a supernatural, powerful force, more powerful than nuclear force or any other kind of force. Love will cut to the heart. And so we are overcomers. We're victorious. In the Amplified, it says, for whatever is born of God is victorious. Not trying to get, not hoping to be, but we are. God sees us already as victors. And so we need to come into agreement with him, and then we need to follow him, and we will have that victory in whatever area it is. If it's a health issue, you've got the victory. You've been healed by the stripes that Jesus bore. He already did the work. The work has been completed. And then to make it complete in your physical body, if we're talking of healing, then you have to make that complete by receiving your healing by faith. Again, faith is that spiritual force that taps in and takes. Faith appropriates. Faith is a taker. Fight the good fight of faith. You are going to have to take something. So you take it. The other night at healing service, I had somebody come up, a little girl, and I handed out a $20 bill, but far enough away so she couldn't just reach it. She had to go towards and grab hold of it, and she grabbed it. Well, we have to be tenacious with our faith and say, God has said that this is for me. Healing is for me. I'm going to take it. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to appropriate it. I heard Jesse Duplantis say this. I don't know if you know him. Some of you do. He said, you have to possess your possessions. The things that God has given to you, you have to possess them. Nobody else is going to for you. You have to possess them, which means you've got to grab hold of them, which means you've got to believe they're for you. All things are possible to him who believes. Starts with believing, but it ends by receiving. And we have to appropriate using our faith. God created us to win. And so he sees us winning. He sees you already healed. He sees you already prosperous in that area. He already sees you financially blessed. He already sees a prosperous marriage. He already sees your children serving him. Bible says the seed of the righteous shall be blessed. Your kids, if you have kids, they'll be blessed because you're righteous. Amen. That's good news right there for your kids, for you too. Everybody wants their kids to be blessed. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. We're right close to there. Just back up a couple pages. God records here, I'm just going to start at the beginning, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I like that. To those who have obtained like precious faith. Then verse 2, he imparts some things here. Grace or favor, God's favor and peace be multiplied to you. See, you've got to see that being multiplied to you. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In the knowledge of God. Where are we going to get the knowledge of God? In his word. He's given us his word. So we've got to get in here to find these things that he has given us. Verse 3, as his divine power has given to us, that denotes a gift already given to us, past tense, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Again, he's saying through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue or excellence, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. I mean, it would have been good enough to just say he's giving us promises, but he says they're precious promises. They're great and precious promises. They're exceedingly great and precious promises. That through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature. That means as we appropriate these exceedingly great and precious promises, we're going to begin to look and act more like God. We're going to begin to operate like God, which means we're going to operate more in the supernatural level every day than in the natural level. Which means we're going to take things in the supernatural, the miraculous, and bring them into the natural realm. Praise the Lord. That's what all of this is saying. It's already been given to us, but we've got to go after it. We've got to possess our possessions. We've got to possess our possessions. So we'll be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He goes on to talk about, and I have a little subheading here that the translators put in, fruitful growth in the faith. We talked about producing fruit on Sunday, if you were with us. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. See, we're going to have to give some diligence. You know that. You're the Wednesday night bunch. Maybe there's some listening online or listening on CD. You're going to have to give some diligence. Add to your faith excellence, and to excellence knowledge. Again, we get our knowledge in the Word of God. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. It sounds like a lot of the fruit of the Spirit in there being reiterated to us. He goes on to say in verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and is forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. In other words, he's saying here, if we don't pursue the things of God in the Word of God, we're going to begin to forget who we are as a born-again Christian. We're going to forget that our sins were even forgiven. We're going to forget that we've been healed. We're going to forget that these things have been given to us. And who we associate with and who we let speak into our life is so critically important to us fulfilling our victorious life. You can get saved and then not change your life, not really repent and turn away, still have the same old friends, and your life isn't going to change. If you really made a commitment inside, we should be able to start seeing some fruit at some point in time. And I'm not, nor are you, anybody's judge. But after 30 years of somebody, you saw them supposedly get saved, if their life in 30 years didn't change at all, I would just question. I'm not going to say it to them. I'm not going to judge them. But I'd question, did they ever get born again? Just because they said a prayer doesn't mean they got saved. They have to believe it in their heart, and they need to speak it from their heart. And then the transformation comes. And you've all had that experience, and things change for you radically. So we should see radical changes in people that get born again. Anyway, that was for somebody. God's given us these exceedingly great and precious promises, and we have to receive them. We have to take them. That means we lay hold of it. That means we're going to take it, and sometimes we're going to have to take it by force. There's a scripture, it's over in Luke, I think, where it says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We're going to have to take some things by violence, by violently using our faith. That's why Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. You can't be wimpish and be a bold Christian. It just doesn't work. Okay, so quickly, just to kind of summarize this. Number one, we're going to have to believe. We're going to have to believe these precious promises. We're going to have to find them. We're going to have to receive them. And we're going to have to determine and settle it in our hearts that I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe his word. And I'm going to appropriate his word to my life. When you get born again, we need to begin to renew our minds to the Word and then begin to act and live, put off our old carnal self. And Ephesians talks about that, about all the things that we used to do as our old selves. But now the new life, we're supposed to have a change in our life. And people should be able to see that. Faith is also possessing the outcome. See yourself healed. See yourself with that promotion. See your marriage successful. See it getting better. See your children. Maybe you've got kids that are, you know, not on the right path. See them on the right path. Begin to thank God. Begin to praise God. Praising God will still the Avenger's voice. And so now you'll be able to hear from God. And I usually share this with people that have situations with their adult children, it's probably not going to be your voice that's the one that changes them and brings them back. And so you need to pray, God, open their eyes so that they can see, because they're blinded. Father, help them to come to their senses and escape the snare of the enemy. That's over in 1 Peter. And Father, I'm going to decree and declare right now that I raise my kids in the way of the Lord. So they're not going to depart. And we need to be bold about that. And we need to see them beginning to serve God. We need to see them doing the things. Even though in the natural, we can still see things going on that we don't like. You know, God doesn't like it any better that they've gone wayward. But he's faithful and he's just. And he will reward the righteous. And your children will be blessed. And so we got to hold on to that. He doesn't promise us in 60 days they'll be back just because you prayed for 60 days. He doesn't give us that promise. So therefore, we can't release faith for something he hasn't promised us. But he has given us the promise that they shall depart eventually from that old wayward style. They will come back, he says, when they get old. And we like to say, well, they're 21 now, so that's old enough. It might not be. For some, it is. I've seen it where 21 years old was plenty old enough. Then I've seen some that have 25, 26-year-olds. They're still messed up in the natural. But see it through the eyes that God sees them through. So that should encourage you. And maybe you know some. Maybe you don't have kids, but maybe you know somebody that does. You can encourage them. You know what? Stand on the word of God. Believe God. He loves them more than you do. I don't care if they're your best friends. I don't care if they're your children. See, when I got that revelation that God loved my kids more than I did, that helped me to raise them. I could go to sleep at night knowing that the Holy Spirit truly is my standby. He's awake up all night long, you know. My kids out, you know, after midnight or whatever, and, you know, I wanted them home sooner. But, you know, when they're 21, 22, 23 years old, they're adults. And so you've got to let them, you've got to let them find their journey. They have a journey. You know, and we've all had journeys. And so I know we want to live their life for them, but that's just not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Okay, so number one, we're going to have to believe, we're going to have to settle it in our heart that God's word is true, and that we're going to have to start appropriating his word by faith in our life. Number two, a word of encouragement is to operate with the authority God's given you. In Matthew 28, he says, well, let's just look there. Put our eyes on it. We're almost done here. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or to do all things that I've commanded you. So use the authority. In Luke 10 and 19, he says, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Now, that's a reference not just to snakes and scorpions, but to the enemy. He's given you authority over the enemy. Authority is the legal right to act on God's kingdom against the enemy. And he says, nothing by any means shall harm you. Nothing. No thing. So if you know your authority, which you need to know, now you've got to operate in it. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him that place. Use your authority. Use the shield of faith. Use the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, says in Ephesians 6. Use the authority God's given you. And then we could see that the power's been given to us. In Acts 1 and 8, he said, you'll be endued with power from on high. Well, why is God giving us power? Because we have an adversary in this earth. And we need that. I already quoted Luke 10, 19. Luke 24, 49 is saying the same thing. Wait until the Spirit of God. This is back when Jesus had been crucified and he went into hell and he came back and showed himself to over 500 people. And now he's telling them at one of the last things, you know, wait until the Spirit of God comes on you and clothes you from on high, it says in Luke 24. With the power. The power comes on us. The power is for service. The power is to advance God's kingdom. We need the power. Don't try to do it powerless. Be tough if we turn the lights off tonight and I tried to read in the dark. Not going to happen real good. I'd have to just say, turn to John. I wouldn't see it, but I'd just have to quote it from memory. But anyway, so use the power. I want you to see, this will be the last scripture we're going to look at. In Ephesians chapter 1, he has given us power. We'll just start in verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, see, this is all going to work. Power's not going to work without the love. The love walk's got to be operating. So he's heard of your faith and your love. He does not cease, it's Paul writing this, to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. Here's another gift he's giving us. You have to receive it. I receive it. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There's that knowledge of him again. That's the word of God. And revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. See, there's our inheritance again in the saints. That's you and me. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He's saying here, the same power, the dunamis power that God exerted when he raised Jesus up out of hell, is the same power he's deposited inside of you. So we're not lacking power, friends. We're not lacking the power. We've just got to get our eyes open to the word of God, to where we recognize the authority and the power we have, and then appropriate it in the right places. It's got to be appropriated towards the right thing. That's towards the enemy. That's not towards other Christians. That's not towards your neighbor that's not a Christian. No, the authority's been given to us over the enemy. We get the enemy out of the way. Now we have an opportunity to minister to people, to share about the love of God, about the goodness of God. So I just want to say this in the Amplified in verse 19. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe. It's in you and it's for you. And it's demonstrated. He said it's demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, in every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and in the world which are to come. So this is, he's been given us this authority and power for eternity. We're going to be using it. We're going to rule and reign with Christ at some point in the future. God's really reigning on the earth through man. Spirit-filled Christians that have been given the authority and the power, who know their place and know how to use it. He goes on to say, verse 22, he's put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, that's Jesus. But look at this, a headship exercised throughout the church. You and I are the church, which is his body, verse 23, the fullness of him who fills all in all, for that body lives in the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. That's pretty powerful. That's encouraging to know that no matter what comes at us in life, God's given us the tools. He's given us the power and the authority to bust through it, to fly over it like an eagle, to let it not ruffle our feathers, as long as we do it his way and not give place to the enemy, which derails us of our faith, which means our power isn't going to work. Because our faith works by love, and if we've given in to the enemy and gotten out of love and all the other things, the other devices that he uses, see, so we've got to recognize. There's a scripture that says, test yourself to see if you're in faith. You test yourself. Don't be looking to other people to tell them, well, you're out of faith and you're out of faith. No, test yourself. What we need to do is get in front of a mirror and get it working in our life first. Remember when Jesus was talking about getting the telephone pole out of your brother's eye? He said, a speck out of your brother's eye. He says, get that telephone pole out of your eye so that you can see to take the speck out of him. I had three of my grandkids yesterday, and I just felt impressed to share this little lesson of wisdom because three girls, I tell you, they're in the back seat. It's just like we had three, actually, we had six conversations going on. I don't know how they did it. But it was like all these voices. It's just like, I couldn't understand. It was getting confusing. I said, hold on just a minute. I said, none of you can even hear what the other one is saying. You're trying to talk to each other, but you're just talking over. All three of them are talking over each other. And I said, let me just share this with you. God gave you two ears and one mouth. I said, that means you need, I said, take this with you for the rest of your life. That means you need to listen twice as much as you speak. And they said, wow, we never thought of that before. I said, well, put it into practice. I said, that will help you immensely. That'll help you on your job. That'll help you in school. You can't possibly be talking and understanding what the teacher's trying to say. Let alone just conversations amongst each other. It's like they were all talking, but nobody heard a thing that the other one said. So it was just jabberish. Why don't you stand with me? We'll close in prayer. So that can be for you too tonight. Two ears, one mouth. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom of it. It doesn't just contain wisdom. It is wisdom. And we thank you, Father, for the good ground of our hearts here tonight. That it's falling upon and that it's going to be rooted, deeply rooted, and it's going to grow up and produce in our lives. So we give you thanks, Father, for all that's been said and done here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, have a blessed evening. We'll see you on Sunday.